If you don't have your last week's notes, just Caden's got a few of them. I don't have too many, but see if you can get one. I wondered if anybody would have theirs. Exodus 28, look at verse 36 with me. We were looking at the holiness is from the Lord only. And this is a huge thought. People think they can make themselves holy or they can buy themselves holy. Look at Exodus 28, verse number 36 with me, please. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may hear the iniquity, bear the iniquity, thank you, sir, bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shall they make for them, and for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Clothing is super important. Clothing is more important than you think it is. Now, I will tell you, men, you don't have to wear a tie and a suit. And ladies, there's always the idea and men, of no nakedness. And then on top of that, you don't wear your rags. You're a king's kid. Now, I know some take it too far, and they say that you can only wear a white shirt and a black tie. That's why I wore a red shirt today and a red tie. I like those colors. There's gray colors and gray and blues, and there's oranges, and I have trouble with salmon or pink. I don't care what you call it, but I don't look good in it. It doesn't look manly to me. And if you talk the old school, that's anybody older than 35 or 40. Salmon is not the best color. Although you're going to laugh, the other day Mike and I were playing golf, and all I had left were pink tees. I played 9 holes with pink tees. Miss Bensy, could you put that on silent? Bensy, you need a hug, don't you? Amen, sister. Poor sister Bensy. Clothing is important, girls. You don't wear your rags into the church house. Girls, it's rebellious. You don't show cleavage. You don't show many things. Why? Because it'll turn a man's heart. Well, wait a minute. He ought to have enough sense to not look. A man's eyes don't have any sense. Clothing is important. Now, we started about it last week. Holiness is from the Lord only. Does anybody remember the illustration that I used about this gold plate on his forehead? I quit. Babe, is there an unemployment line for pastors? I gave y'all a perfect illustration. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I wore a hat. The hat on the front of it had Encore on it. That was a hat that I had gotten free, and this company has, we've gotten a few free golf balls, and they're a good company, and they're trying to become well known. I had a young man last Sunday. His name is Hunter. Hunter is a Christian boy. Babe, I found out they go to Brother Booth Church in Charlotte. Anyway, I gave him a coin with a Bible verse on it and gave him some golf balls, Encore golf balls. He had a great round. I said, what do you think of those golf balls? Can I get some more? I said, yeah, we'll see what we can do about that. But that hat and a lot of what you, it tells a lot about you. If I wore my ping hat, I've got a Hawaiian, Jamie and I have matching floral type hats, and it says Ping on it. Ping is a golf company. I got a new Lions hat. I even lost a bet. No, I didn't lose a bet because I didn't bet. But I told Ray if Michigan Wolverines won the national championship, I'd get a Michigan Wolverine hat. Of course, I always wait for them to go on sale or clearance because they're not worth full price, amen? But that hat tells you, you know who you are. I've got it in the back of my truck. I've got it set up. I got an old Indiana hat that I work. And of course, Jeff, he's a big Big Ten guy and college guy and all kind of sports guys. He's got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, he's got a lot of different shirts he wears. Of course, he wears them to get dirty and to sweat in. That's kind of the way I do it. But I got an Indiana hat. And his dad, who I just got to meet, walked up to me and said, hey, Indiana, how you doing? You're known by your clothing. You're known by what's on it and what does it say. It's important. I don't know that it would be a wise idea of me to do this. Did y'all notice a wise idea? To wear a Budweiser shirt while I'm preaching. No, because the preachers told me years ago that Budweiser make you Bud dumber. That's just the truth. So what you wear says something about you. These kids that are gothic, that are wearing dark clothes and dark makeups and dark fingernails and all that, they're trying to be dark, and what they don't realize, they're worshiping Satan. These gauges and many of the other piercings that are going on. I get a kick out of it. There's one young man that's trying to fit in. He's got one arm that's a little shorter than the other. He bowls left-handed. And last time I seen him, he bowled in the 260s. I mean, he can really bowl. He can really bowl for just having one good hand. Anyway, his name is Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's got a nose ring, and he's got another ring here, and he's got a couple here in his ears. I said, Jeff, can I ask you a question? Well, yeah. Why? So what do you mean, why? Well, the ring in your nose and this and that. Oh, I know, they were kind of dumb, but I guess I want to stand out. I said, oh, yeah, it makes you stand out, all right. But it looks goofy, because as a country kid, looking at an old hog, a sow, for example, so you put it in her nose, and you look at that, now that dangling from the nose, I can kind of see it. But dangling from a girl or a boy's nose, that's just stupid. By the way, I've been talking with an individual, he's got a lot of tattoos. And he's always talking about needing money or not having money for groceries. I said, look at your arm. How much money you got on that arm? He said, I know. You could have ate that money. That money there could have fed you. There's a whole lot of other things that are going on that we don't. Holiness is from the Lord only. It's rebellion in your heart. It's not holiness in your heart. Samuel even said that it is witchcraft. God looketh upon the outward, or the heart, whereas man looketh upon the outward. You see, oh, she's beautiful, or oh, he's really cute, and he's ugly on the inside. How do you know if an individual is ugly on the inside? By how they talk to you. I have noticed in the state of Michigan, and I'm telling you, whether you like this or not, 9 out of 10 people don't care about your first name. You know how many people I know? Only because David walked up and said, hey, how you doing? I'm David. I'm on a tractor doing some rough. and a gentleman who'd been club champion there at Grand Lakes Country Club for many, many years. And boy, have I had a chance to witness. He knows who I am. I don't even know how he knew that. You're the pastor, aren't you? And you're down at Walker on the north end of the... Whoa, he's done a little research. I don't know his name. He walks up to me and says, hey, by the way, we're going to be taking this area. We're going to have to grow up. We want heather there. I said, oh, you mean weeds? He said, yeah, basically. So what golf courses will do, they'll grow up certain areas so it's heavy rough. If you lose it into there, you're in trouble. You know, they want to put a lot of trouble on the course so you can't think you're other. Anyway, and I said, oh, by the way, I'm David, sir. He says, yeah, I know who you are. And your name? My name's Lee. Now, I don't know how you, Catherine, I guess you and I being from the South is a little different. And Karis, you spent some time in the South. Southern folk, they want you to know their name. Hey, how you doing? I'm Bob and Sue. Yeah, well, I'm Harry too. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is, but isn't it, what is it? I'm dead serious. You people know who you are, maybe not so much by your first name even, but how you say things. Are you calculated in what you say, or do you just fly off at the handle and say words you shouldn't be saying anyow? The best lesson I ever got, I was 15 years old. Pastor Charlie, myself, my dad, a couple other men from the church. Tom Phillips was one, babe. I'm trying to make, Gary Carl was another. I'm trying to think of who. Rock of Ages come to our church. And we had a Sunday afternoon. Pastor Charlie had already started up a prison ministry in Danville. And I wanted to get involved with it. And I wanted to learn some things. So he had me there. And one of the first things they said was, when you are in the jails and the prisons with us, you use King James Bible words. You know what he was saying, right? If it ain't in the Bible, don't you say it. And so, of course, I raised my hand and I said, well, sir, what about the word ass? He said, well, I just want you to know that there are people a lot of people in this world that are a lot like Balaam's ass. Stubborn, right? Now, many of us, see, the word ass was not a cuss word back in the day. Our sin and our society has degraded the language that we speak today. The term bastard, that has become a very horrible name. In Mississippi when I was pastor, and I had talked about what a bastard was there from the book of Hebrews. You and I, hey, listen, beloved, we are adopted into the family of God. That's a blessing. God has no bastard children. Are you listening? What is that? That's a child born out of wedlock, is it not? That's a child born out of what? Sin. God don't have it. So, beloved, there's some things to consider in our language, and it comes from holiness. Holiness. Not flesh. Not wickedness. Not rebellion. So, let me get back to this. Let's look at some of this. Verse 29, and the holy garments of Aaron. Did you see that? Holy garments in verse number... Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm looking at chapter 29. Look at chapter 29, verse 29. 29, 21, just the page over. And the holy garments of Aaron. Have you noticed how that the dress of a harlot, a whore, has made its way into the church? It used to be that fishnet stockings were only a harlot or a whore wore those. You hear me? Or a whoremonger. Today, you see a lot of the... I saw something the other day that just made... I mean, I almost vomited. Was two guys holding hands, and they had on the 1970s short shorts. Just nasty. I learned a new phrase yesterday, babe. Were you standing there when Micah told us that new phrase? I had never heard about this. The term is a Furby. What is it? Oh, I thought it was a Furby. Furry. A furry. Okay. All right, hang on, Rachel. It's my preaching time. I'm going to tell the story. A furry. It absolutely floored me. I was laughing. I laughed so hard, my stomach hurt. He said, Dad, I've seen them come in with tails, trying to be a cat or a dog. I said, a furry? I said, I grew up with a kid named Billy Furry, and he and I had a couple fights, and then we become pretty good friends. A furry? I thought it'd be a Furby. You know, wasn't there such a thing as a Furby at one time? I thought there was, like a toy or something. A furry? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to wear no tail, but you can call me Bear all you want. I earned that nickname. But I'm a big teddy bear. Our world is not holy anymore. It's not holy anymore. And most of the time, Christians are just as involved with it as lost folk. My mom, if you're watching, could you imagine what my mama would have... Today... I'm going to be a boar. I'm telling you, Jamie, we're tiger stances, not kitty cat stances. I have some kids, when I teach them a tiger stance, which is all it is a T stance, and you're up on the front. And it's meant, so you got all your weight back here. It's meant for a straddle or a stationary front kick. It's just meant to kick. So your foot, I don't know if everybody can see my foot. If I'm standing going this way, my heel's off the ground. We call it a tiger stance.
I want to call it a cat stance.
No, no kitty cat stance. I had a little girl cry. I made her cry on purpose. It's a tiger stance. Rawr. Then we got one little girl, little Lucy. That's a tiger stance. Rawr. And it's like, okay, that sounds good. Why would I bring up so much about the holiness? God called us to holiness. He did not call us to wickedness. Now, this uniform that he has on, did you notice, and if you look there, verse 40, and Aaron's sons shalt thou make coats, and verse 41, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons, and they're to be anointed and consecrate them and sanctify them. Verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Number one, this is an open profession of the relationship with God Almighty. Today's men's swim trunks are a lot different than what we had in high school and growing up. The ones we had growing up come halfway up your thigh. Now, the ones I had on the swim team weren't exactly what you call a Speedo, but they were meant for us to swim fast through the water, okay? Now, there were a couple of guys that I knew in high school that had the quote-unquote European Speedos, which are much shorter, and they're just nasty looking. Now, Carmella, our coach, she would make everyone wear shorts and a shirt, unless you were in the water and you were swimming. When you got back out, you had to put short and a shirt back on. She was strong about that. She was about the only coach in the YMCA in the state of Illinois that I know about that would make her do that. Because she said, no, you're not going to be naked out there. You don't need to be. And she held to that. She had as an alternate on the U.S. Olympic team in 1980 or 1976. I can't recall which one. But Carmella was tough on us. And to her, even out on the pool, what we wear is an open profession of who we are. By the way, if you come out to the golf course or you come out here, and if I'm working, if it's warm enough, I'm going to put shorts on because my legs need the sunlight. Matter of fact, Miss Bensie, yep, I'm darker. I've been out in the sun a lot this week, and I love it. If you've not been out in the sun for a while, you're missing out. Michigander, getting out in the sunlight. It's good for you. It'll help all your hormones. It'll help all your entire body. You need vitamin D. You need it. I've had some, I think it was Ray might have said something to me, or it was Josh, I got a lot of sunlight and I couldn't sleep. Well, vitamin D is the, and it's not even vitamin D, it's a hormone. But the thing is it's the wake-up drug. It's the breakfast drug is what a lot of people call it. Don't take vitamin D afternoon, okay? You'll be up that night because it is supposed to wake you up. You need sunlight. You don't get any sunlight, that's where a lot of your health troubles are. But you need sunlight. So I'll probably have, and I might even tuck my shirts. I need to get some muscle shirts now, babe. I gotten rid of a lot of fat. And I got muscle. I got veins showing up again. It's scary. Micah said, Dad, you're going to cut your leg and bleed to death. I said, no, I won't. Well, I did cut myself, but it didn't bleed to death. You know, there's something about it that what the relationship with God is shown by what we wear. Who in here does not know what tie-dye is? So when we were worked out back in the 90s, we wore tie-dye a lot. And Austin Idol, an old wrestler, kind of got it, caught me going on it anyway. And what you wear says a lot about you. And you know what's crazy? Probably the biggest problem or the reason why we wear certain things is we want people to think that we're somebody. I'm somebody. Look at here. I'm somebody. I got a Louis Vuitton. You know, ladies in these $1,000 Louis Vuitton purses or whatever they are. You kidding me? Prada. Yeah. Well, I always go down to Costco. Mom, I got 12 of these. 12? For $2.97 at Costco. Now, they're a size too big, so I just cinch them up better. Okay? They had been 20. But when I got down there, I needed 34 or 36-inch waist, and I like the 29s. And the 30s are a little long, but they had 38-29. Hey, just cinch them up better. $2.97, and they look like dress pants. They're waterproof. Why not? It says something about yourself. You know, this open profession, it boldly proclaiming the relationship with God Almighty. What's your relationship like with Him? In discussion, the language that you use will tell me a lot about your heart. Christian, does the world think you're different or do you blend in a lot? A lot of people try to blend in. Your dress, it's an open profession. It shows your consecration to God. Our problem in our world is today is we're half God and half world. Holiness is from the Lord only. He's got to put it on your heart. What do you listen to? I listen to some of the Christian music. I still like the Newsboys. I still like Michael W. Smith, and the list goes on and that. I mean, Mercy Me, Jamie and I, we could listen to Mercy Me all the time. Just enjoy it. Now, the other side of me says, I like my Alan Jackson. Who was I listening to? Mike Berry. Remember Scott, his brother we knew at Pensacola? John Berry, the singer, he's really good to hear, listen to sing. I was like, oh, I haven't heard that in forever. Of course, Randy Travis. Hey, Randy Travis is back to singing a little bit now. He had that bad stroke. To me, love you. How long am I going to love you? I'll love you forever. Amen. What a great song. He helped write a song that I'll sing to Jamie, and I haven't done it a long time. It's Good Morning, Beautiful. How was your night? Mine was wonderful. Next to your, next to you. What's that? I know. With you by my side. Or I'll break into, oh my love, my darling. There's some great little songs out there. But I can tell you right now, if I was to stand up here and sing some of the other stuff I used to listen to, well, then you say, David, what's wrong with you? I always get a kick out of Rachel. I got the rice cooking. Okay, let's get spiritual. All right. It's an open profession. Number two, did you notice here it's engraved on the plate? Come with me back to me at verse number 28, because we need the Bible. Look at verse 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it. This is an engraving. This is important. This takes detail and dedication. Not only there's an open profession, but it's engraved on this plate. Well, big deal. No, it's not a little deal. It is a big deal. Somebody took the time to do it. Kids, young people, everybody, just look up here a minute. You ever had somebody give you something you went, oh, okay. I still haven't figured out why Mama Ward made me a turtle crocheted blanket. I've never really thought about turtles in that way, other than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Y'all say that fast five times. See how you do it. But I saw that blanket, and we've got that blanket over the house, and I'm like, she made that. Hey, the same goes for this. God did this. God is holy. Hey, it's a big deal to be holy. You listening? It's a big deal to be holy. 38 years ago, I met Miss Jamie. This August, the last Sunday of August, would be 38 years ago that we had our first date. I didn't even hold her hand. I was afraid of her, for one. And I was afraid of my mom. I was afraid of my dad. And then, was Bill with us? No, Bill wasn't with us then, was he? Why? Because holding the hands is the first position of intimacy. As Jamie and I began to date, and at Christmas time, I held her hand for the first time, and I like holding her hand. I still do this. Well, I don't. Do you still like to hold my hand? Oh, don't roll your eyes, please. Just, you can say, yes, I want to hold your hand. David, shut up. Young people. I remember in high school. Do y'all remember these days? One's got one in the hand in the back pocket, the other one's got the other one, and they got their hands in the back pocket. Yeah, you and Ray probably did it. Look at Ray back here. Ray just turned five shades of red. Hey. He was skinnier than. What did you say? She was. No, Ray, don't you be doing that. Hey, it's engraved on the plate. It's out there to be seen. Our problem is we want to be the world. And we want to keep that stuff quiet. Many believers today are closet believers. Most people are closet Bible readers. Most Christians today, they might be saved, but they're not thankful one iota for the salvation Jesus Christ gave them. Nor are they appreciative, thankful, and want to tell others about the holiness that God gave them. Amen. I want to play with, oh, hey, I got my fire insurance, but I'm going to play with the world. That ain't right. So it's engraved on this plate. It's pretty special. Like the blanket, Sister Rachel, that Mama Ward made for me. It's beautiful. Or have you seen the puzzle of horses that Sister Bensie made for me? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know what the worst thing is going to happen on my birthday? This wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous coconut cream pie will be gone in the first hour. Sister Karis will say, now you know you're going to need to chill it and to cook it. She don't know me. Miss Catherine, that coconut cream pie may be fresh out of the oven. It's just as good hot as it is cold. Yes, ma'am. I don't use a knife. I just use a shovel. It's engraved. It means something. It's special. Number one, when you engrave something, it's forever. It ain't temporary. Sister Bensie, when you got up and walked and you wanted to be saved in May of 2008, when he saved you then, he saved you forever. In 1975, when Jesus Christ saved my soul, he saved me forever. When Jamie Lynn got saved in 1990, with September 1991, it's forever. When I married her, aren't you glad that that's not forever? Bible says to not be given in marriage. I don't know. But then again, I don't know anything about it anyhow. Jamie, you'll see. I can see her now. If I die before she does, and I'm laying there in the casket, oh, boy, am I glad that's over. Beloved, it's engraved. It's forever. It's an outward witness of an inward condition. Y'all hear me? It's an outward proclamation. It's an outward witness. It's an outward preaching. It's an outward witness of an inward condition. Oh, praise the Lord for that. It's engraved. Now, when you engrave something, you got to write into it. Correct? Now, if an engraver goes too deep, what happens? Well, he'd probably break the needle or something that he's using in order to engrave it, or the tool he's using. Or he'll go through it and you'll not be able to notice it. So this engraving is not through it. This engraving is not a scratch on the top either. There's a proper depth that's given to this in such a manner that it's deep. Same thing happened the day you got saved. And I'm going to tell you what's a shame is, we live our lives as if Jesus Christ's crucifixion, death and burial, and resurrection don't mean a thing. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul, washing my sin away. Thank you for sealing me, but I'm going to go on down my own path. I'm going to tell you right now, if there's no conviction, there's no salvation. If there's no desire of God, chances are there's no salvation. Well, I'd like to go to the rest of it. Brother Scott, I guess I'm going to have to finish my notes again next week. So this week, we understand the thought of that. It's on his forehead. It's an open profession, a relationship with God. And it's forever engraved. It's a deep and sincere devotion. What level of devotion are you? The old preacher said this: God's over here, I'm right here, you are right here. As a preacher, the old preacher said this: I'm just trying to get you a little bit closer. Your problem is you're over here. And this is what we usually do. Beloved, how deep is your devotion to the Lord Jesus? Father, thank you for the word in Sunday school this morning. I pray it's been a help. Thank you, God. I love you. May we learn from the Old Testament. Very valuable lesson. Jesus' name, amen.